This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. As we count down to the November election, Newsmakers is hosting a series of shows to hear from candidates for state office in our area. Today we're talking about Wisconsin's 32nd Senate District, which covers all or parts of Crawford, Vernon, Monroe, and La Crosse counties. Democratic Senator Jennifer Schilling first won the seat in 2011 special election and now faces the former 32nd Senator, Republican Dan Kopenke. Also running for the seat this fall is Integrity Party candidate Chip DeNoor. The three candidates are joining us in studio today for a debate. And we'll start with opening statements. You'll each have a minute to introduce yourself and talk about why you're running for office. And Senator Schilling, we'll begin with you.
Good morning. Well, thank you very much for hosting us here on campus. And I think as we're about 2 weeks out from the election, I'd like to say happiness is the election in the rearview mirror. And I think this year, especially with candidates and the general public, this has been a long campaign season. I am proud to have represented this district over the last 5 years and prior to that serving in the state assembly. And Wisconsin is a great place to live, to work, and raise a family. And we really are fortunate to live in one of the most beautiful parts of the state. However, too many people still continue to feel economic angst in their day-to-day life. We've seen deep cuts to our schools, our university system. We need to find a long-term sustainable funding mechanism for our roads as well. So I think that we could do better in this state. I think there is an agenda that people would support in this state to move forward, to look at ways that we can offer growth, opportunity, and innovation in this state to lead our state forward.
And Mr. Kopenke, you'll now have a minute to introduce yourself and talk about why you're running for office.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Dan Kopenke. I'm glad to be on the campus here at UW-La Crosse. I love this institution. I'm running because Wisconsin is a great place. And over the last 5 years, many good things have happened for the citizens here of this state. And all too often, I don't hear those good things from my opponent or from her party. And quite frankly, the media at times is lax on covering the positive aspects of what we have going for us here in Wisconsin. So I'm here to talk about the fact that property taxes actually have decreased for the average homeowner. Income taxes have decreased for the medium income family of four. We have a rainy day fund now that's the largest in the history of this state. We're paying our bills. We're balancing our budget. And actually, it was disclosed about a week ago that we have a surplus of over $300 million this year. So a lot of good things are happening. We do have some challenges, and together we can meet those challenges, but we need to continue on the path of prosperity for our people.
And Mr. DeNoor, you'll now have a minute to introduce yourself and talk about why you're running for office.
Well, there are four main reasons, four main issues why I'm running. The first and foremost is my opposition to the North-South Corridor Highway project that the Department of Transportation wants to build through the La Crosse River Marsh and probably through fragile La Crosse neighborhoods. It makes no sense for the Department of Transportation, with its massive budget deficit, to be spending $140 million on a road project that most of the people in La Crosse don't want. Another main issue is the fact that the MMR vaccine causes autism in some children. This is a fact. It hasn't been debunked. I also favor the legalization of marijuana. And the Department of Natural Resources needs to get its act together. It is not protecting our natural resources.
And we'll continue the debate with a series of issues questions. And we'll start with Mr. Kopenke. What are the major things that are needed in your district?
Well, I think, first off, we need to address the health care issue, not only in our district, but throughout the state and throughout this country, for that matter. As I've been getting around talking to people and listening to people, there are some real horror stories out there as far as health care coverage. The cost has skyrocketed, and people just can't afford it anymore. I referred to a family of two now farmers down in Vernon County who told me that their premiums were $18,000 a year in 2015, and they went to $24,000 in 2016, and with a $6,000 deductible. So they have to spend $30,000 out of pocket before they have a dollar of any kind of coverage, which is just not sustainable for this family or other families. Another person stopped me on the street, talked about the big deductible that he had some medical help and had to pay this deductible, didn't have the money, so he took money out of his 401 at the end of the year. Of course, he had to pay taxes on it, so it was a double whammy for him. So healthcare, number one. Infrastructure, we still need to take a look at infrastructure. I think the governor's budget is a step in the right direction. The transportation secretary's in that. There are more monies for rural roads, more monies for bridges, and bonding is the lowest it's been in about 10 years. So those are two of the main issues. Another issue that we do have now is our workforce seems to be shrinking. We have all kinds of job openings around western Wisconsin, and we need a workforce, a trained workforce, that will address that need.
Mr. Dunor, what are the major things that are needed in your district?
Well, I think Dan brought up a very good issue in health care. He didn't say it right out. I'll say it. You know, Obamacare is a disaster and needs to be replaced. It's one of the reasons I'm supporting Donald Trump for president. To replace Obamacare, a single-payer health care system where everybody is covered. This is, health care, in my opinion, is a right of every human being. It's not a privilege. Our neighbor to the north, Canada, has a very good system in place. We should adapt it here. And I think if we did, that a lot of people in the 32nd District would be very happy about it.
And Senator Schilling, what are the major things that are needed in your district?
Well, as I travel around the four counties and I listen to people and tour businesses and stop into schools and meet with administrators, education is a common theme that I hear about. Certainly, we are proud of our public schools here in western Wisconsin. And really, to prepare today's students for tomorrow's workforce, we need to have a strong public school system. And so looking to restore the deep cuts to our K-12 public schools, as we look at more and more communities are having, school districts are having to go to referendum and ask the public to assist them with costs because of the deep cuts to our K-12 schools. Right now, school districts are receiving funding about the level that about 2010. My opponent, Mr. Kopanky, supported the largest cut to our public schools with a cut of $850 million. As I look at our higher education as well, our university system and our technical schools, that at a downturn in our economy, we need to make sure that we're investing in higher education as well. And last year, Wisconsin was one of only 9 states that cut funding to higher education. And finally, I'll say, as we look at infrastructure, it is finding a long-term sustainable funding mechanism for our roads. That is a critical network for economic development. And we need to look at roads, bridges, but I also talk about broadband quite a bit, that is also a great equalizer for economic development in our rural communities. So as we look at jobs and infrastructure, education, those things all go hand in hand for a strong communities.
And as has been mentioned, there's a big conversation going on about transportation funding in our state. Mr. Dunor, do you think the Department of Transportation is getting enough support? And how do you think funding for road projects should be addressed?
Well, first of all, I agree with the governor on delaying major road projects. The Department of Transportation has a massive budget deficit, and it still is moving forward with the North-South Corridor Highway Project, you know, which cost $140 million, and the people of La Crosse don't want it. They want to protect our marsh. The concern for the taxpayer is one of the foundations of my candidacy, and I hope it comes out here. I want to get Jennifer Schilling's opinion on this, because I believe she wants an increase in the gas tax and registration fees. And I oppose that, because people are struggling these days and they just don't need that extra tax burden. Put the emphasis on road repair, not building highways, especially where they're not wanted.
And Senator Schilling, as I mentioned, transportation funding is a big issue in our state. Do you think the Department of Transportation is getting enough support? And how do you think funding for road projects should be addressed?
Well, safe and reliable roads, bridges, and highways, they do play an important part in our economic growth and stability. And as you look at the requests that the Department of Transportation has currently going into the next budget. I think it was somewhere between $800 and nearly $1 billion in projects. And to think that the Transportation Department can cut those projects in order to save costs, that's just not realistic. So I definitely believe that we need to have a responsible conversation about a long-term sustainable fix for our roads, that as we look ahead to find a funding mechanism, I think we need to diversify the funding sources. Right now we have basically license and registration and the gas tax. And as we look at new ways to help support communities, we need to maintain a strong state and federal relationship with our with Congress, but also look at the relationship and the responsibilities that we have with our local units of government for maintenance and repair. I was recently at a League of Municipalities briefing where 13 of 16 communities have looked at instituting a wheel tax in the last 18 months alone, because our local units of government, mayors and other community leaders, simply don't have the resources and the investment from the state to help maintain the roads that they have. So I think both parties on the political spectrum understand that we need to look at a long-term fix. And what the governor has proposed is really just another way to limp through the next budget with kicking the can down the road.
Mr. Kopenke, do you think the Department of Transportation is getting enough support? And do you think funding for road projects should, or how do you think funding for road projects should be addressed?
Well, first off, there's a legislative audit report that's due in, and we need to take a look at that. It's supposed to look at priorities, efficiencies, and how we build our roads and bidding, and the whole gamut of how we go about our road infrastructure, in the state. Also, you combine that with the budget that was put out by the governor and the secretary, and let's take a look at that, combine those two documents, and then put forth a plan that is long-term and sustainable. I kind of agree with Chip and what he said here as far as new projects. If I own apartment buildings and the roof is leaking on them, I fix those roofs on those two existing apartment buildings before I build new ones. And so let's not build new roads until we maintain the ones that we have. If you drive on Highway 61 between Reedstown and Boscobel, it's a ride, because it's a bumpy ride, because the road is in dire need of repair. So let's take care of those projects first. Let's take care of the roads that we have first before we start talking about building new roads, new highways, especially through the March. I'm with Chip on that it's $140 million. The people here obviously don't want it. We've done some work with Lang Drive. We're doing some work with Exit 3. We've done some work on Highway 16, so let's make sure that those are as good as they can be before we start looking at building new roads.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're hosting a debate between the candidates for the 32nd Senate District. We're here with Democratic incumbent Jennifer Schilling, Republican Dan Kopenke, and Integrity Party candidate Chip DeNoor. Another major issue for the state this year is K-12 education, and many school districts in our area have complained about a shortage of new teachers coming in to K-12 education. How can we best support K-12 schools in our state? And we'll start with Senator Schilling.
Well, we can start by investing in our K-12 schools and our public schools. And I was recently at the DPI superintendent, his annual education address, and the first thing he said is what we can do is try to tone down the rhetoric about teachers and public education. That doesn't cost us anything. As we look at workforce shortages, I've had numerous school district superintendents tell me that they are seeing real teacher shortages, and they used to have dozens of applicants for a position, and now they are seeing a lot less applicants, and some of them are not qualified and kind of meet the standards that the school districts have. Recently, in this last legislative session, the majority party tried efforts to kind of deprofessionalize education and ratcheting down some of the requirements that were needed to be licensed. I think that's the wrong way to go. And I recently met with a dean of education here in the area who talked about we're in a struggle because it seems like the legislature is trying to deprofessionalize education. At the same time, our our DPI is looking to ratchet up some of the requirements and licensing that is being asked of us. So as we look at really a fair funding formula for our schools, that's one that would certainly help our rural schools, because sometimes they find themselves to be property rich but income poor. And so we need to find a funding formula that really is an equalizer for districts around the state, be it large or small, rural or suburban.
Mr. Kopanky, how can we best support K-12 schools in our state?
Yeah, well, K-12 funding for a long, long time has been the number one spending item in a budget under both sides of the aisle here. So it is a priority for all of us. Wisconsin values a good education system, whether it be K-12 or higher ed. And in K-12, again, we've had as recent as 2015 ACT scores that have been number two in the nation. We've had consistently been one of the top graduating classes of high school as far as the percentage of seniors that are actually graduating in the country. So good things are happening within our schools. Jen mentioned earlier about a cut of 800 and some million. That was Act 10, and school districts were given tools. They were allowed to bid out the health insurance, which saved hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars for school districts throughout this state. Example is like Prairie du Chien was over 500,000, Westby was 400,000, Appleton 1.1 million. So they did, there were cuts, but they were able to regain that money back, at least a big part of that. But again, it's a priority for us, higher ed. I've been attending school board meetings here in the district, and I'm very pleasantly surprised with the what I saw, what I heard as far as what's happening within their respective school districts. A lot of positive things are happening. One school district saved enough money from their insurance just this last year that they were able to do a big HVAC project, and they didn't need to borrow any money because they had the savings for it. So good things are happening.
And Mr. Dunor, how do we best support K-12 education in our state?
Well, it's a subject that I'm not all that knowledgeable on, but what I heard Dan just say right now makes a lot of sense to me. I'm not for, again, as the one of the foundations of my campaign is concern for the taxpayer. So I'm not for any more tax dollars to the K-12 system. I think, you know, if a school district wants to build a new building or whatever, they should go to referendum and let the people of that school district decide.
And higher education funding also continues to be an issue as we prepare for the next state budget. What changes, if any, do we need to make to the University of Wisconsin system? And how do we best support our state's technical colleges? And we'll start with you, Mr. Kopanky.
Sure. Well, I'm going to start with the technical colleges and the huge role that they've played recently as far as retraining workers and getting students out into the workforce in a very efficient manner. My grandson went through the Western Tech here in welding in a year, got a very good job, and he's off running his own business right now. And that's really a great, great story about my grandson and also about the possibility and opportunities that the Western Tech and all the technical colleges in the state offer. As far as funding is concerned, I know there's been some cuts. I'm not sure how long ago, a couple years ago, there was discovered quite amount of money in a fund in the university system, and it would have been irresponsible on part of the legislature to give them more money when they were sitting on, I don't know what it was, $600-700 million. So they've used that, at least a portion of that. The system is asking for $42 million in the next budget more, and my answer to that is let's prioritize our spending. Let's look at the money that we do have, and if it can be justified that they need that $42 million and we have that $42 million, then I would consider that.
Mr. Dunor, what changes, if any, need to be made to the University of Wisconsin system, and how do we best support our state's technical colleges?
I'm not for any more tax dollars going to the UW system. If the UW system starts to have problems financially, they should get rid of the tuition freeze and let the students pay for the additional funding and not the taxpayers. Now, Dan just mentioned the additional $42 million that Ray Cross of the Board of Regents wants. Well, part of that money, Ray Cross wants to use to convince high school students to attend university. And I think that's totally inappropriate to try to persuade a high school student to go to college. Number one is the fact that a lot of college graduates are not finding jobs, and they're living in their parents' basements. So, you know, it all depends on the field that you go into when you go to college. But again, my concern here is for the taxpayers. The system, the UW system, took a $250 million hit. Let's let the system deal with it. I think they'll adapt and adjust, and everything will be okay. Again, if there are problems, then get rid of the tuition freeze.
And Senator Schilling, what changes, if any, need to be made to the University of Wisconsin system, and how do we best support our state's technical colleges?
Well, as a proud graduate of UW-La Crosse, I find tremendous value in the experience and the degree that I have graduated from this fine institution. And UWL and the entire UW system, it is critical for economic growth in our communities, fostering innovation, research and development, and growing leaders as they go into the workforce. We need to be investing in our UW campuses and fostering that innovation and entrepreneurship. As I mentioned in my opening comments, the last budget, Wisconsin was one of only 9 states that cut funding to UW, to higher education. And so we have seen $1 billion in cuts to education under Republican control over the last 5 years, $800 million to the university, $200 million to the technical schools. And so I think it comes down to priorities. That the previous 3 questions we've talked about roads and schools and higher education, we've seen a tax policy in this state that has given 11 millionaires who earned $35 million, $21 million in tax credit. So we do have the money in this budget. It's just a matter of prioritizing and certainly looking at higher education and our technical schools that are very nimble and are working with employers for workforce development. We need to make sure that both institutions of learning, higher education, or the UW schools and our technical schools, have the resources and are nimble enough to work with employers for the skills and the training that they need to be in the workforce.
We'll now have an opportunity for a rebuttal. Each candidate will have the chance to clarify their stance on any issues we've talked about, continue their response to any issues, or respond to something your opponent has said. You'll each have a minute for rebuttal, and we'll start with you, Mr. DeNeuer.
Well, I've been trying to get an answer out of Senator Schilling on the North-South Corridor and a highway through the marsh, you know, and I can't even get your position on it. I'm kind of hoping that during this forum you might tell the people, you know, how do you feel about the DOT spending $140 million on a highway through the marsh that's not wanted by the people of La Crosse?
And Senator Schilling, you'll have a minute for rebuttal.
Well, first I will say, as we talked about our public education funding and priorities here in the state, I think one of the aspects that continues to be a challenge for public education funding is the continued growth and expansion of voucher schools in this state. And they are private, unaccountable voucher schools that continues, that they don't play on the same level playing field as our public schools do as far as the requirements for background checks for teachers, for the testing of students. And that really continues to be a challenge as I talk to our public school administrators about how they can best deliver education resources and the tools in the classroom when they see a second parallel education system that is being supported by the majority party in this state.
And Mr. Kopenke, you'll have a minute for rebuttal.
I just want to keep on the education theme a bit too and expand a little bit on what I said earlier. Despite the cuts to the higher ed system over the years, and again, they found a big wad of money in one of their accounts that apparently the legislature was unaware of. Despite that, the campus at Madison is consistently ranked in the top 15 in this country in public universities, despite those cuts. The university here that we're on right now, this campus, has been rated number 4, I think, by U.S. News and World Report recently, and they've consistently been a top-performing comprehensive university in the upper Midwest. So we're very proud of our higher ed system, and the students are learning and the instructors are teaching, and we have a great reputation throughout this country. And again, for K-12 as well, to be in the top 5 as far as graduating percentages of seniors in the country, to have higher ACT scores, I mean, speaks well, again, to the students, the teachers, and the administrators.
Dan Kopanky is the Republican candidate for Wisconsin's 32nd Senate District. He's here with us today for a candidate debate and joined by his opponents, Democratic Senator Jennifer Schilling and Integrity Party candidate Chip DeNore. Over the last month, we've heard from several candidates for state office about their take on issues affecting the Cooley region through a series of candidate debates. Coming up, we'll continue our debate between the candidates for the 32nd Senate seat. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find a link to other debates between candidates in our region. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. We're continuing our series of shows on the fall election. As we count down to Election Day, we've been talking with regional candidates for state office about their thoughts on issues affecting the Cooley region. Today, we're hosting a debate between the candidates for the 32nd Senate District. Former Senator for the 32nd, Republican Dan Kopanky, is challenging the candidate he lost the seat to in the 2011 election, Democratic Senator Jennifer Schilling. Also running for the office is Chip DeNore, representing the Integrity Party. The three candidates are here with us today in studio, and we'll continue our debate with a question on health care. And we'll begin with you, Senator Schilling. What steps does the state need to take to strengthen health care for all citizens?
Well, Wisconsin has long been a leader in health care access, quality, and cost, and very proud of the health care systems that we have here in western Wisconsin, in La Crosse, of course, Gunderson and Mayo, but also the federally qualified health care center in Cashton, independent community hospitals in Prairie du Chien and in Hillsboro. And all of those provide critical care and access to health care for families in rural Wisconsin. I think we can build on the strengths of some of the high-quality healthcare systems by expanding Badger Care. We can do that by accepting federal funds to expand Badger Care for families here in Wisconsin. I think we also need to look at the last several years that access to women's health care and support of Planned Parenthood has really been a target of the Republican majority. And I am proud that I'm probably one of the only senators that in the four counties I represent, we have a clinic, women's health clinic in each of the four counties that I represent. And so to make sure that we have access to women's for health care for basic exams and tests and mammograms, access to birth control, that those are things that are really important in supporting the Well Woman program through the Department of Health Services so that many low-income women have access to the insurance that they need. So we can cover more people here in the state if we would take additional federal money coming in to help expand the health care roles for many low-income people here.
And Mr. Kopanky, what steps does the state need to take to strengthen health care for all citizens?
Well, as Jen said, we have a history in this state of providing good health care. We have a great institutions here in western Wisconsin. And throughout the state, for that matter, we have FQHCs. We have one in Monroe County, in Cashin, and in satellite offices throughout that area there. We have rural health clinics that are easily accessible for all citizens here in Wisconsin. So that's really, really good for the state. Speaks well for us. We have expanded, I believe the last session, Badger Care to Badger Care Plus, which went from 100% of those in the poverty to 133% and fully funded, and that allowed for access to good quality health care for so many people. From 134 above, there's Obamacare, which we've had some real serious issues with, as I mentioned earlier. But with credits and everything, that was supposed to be the answer. It's not. Chip mentioned earlier about getting rid of Obamacare. I'm in favor of that. We need to go back to where Wisconsin was prior to Obamacare, where we did have 90-plus percent of our people covered with some kind of health care insurance, and also we had a high-risk program for those that were uninsurable. So Wisconsin, again, was on the cutting edge of this. Obamacare came in, and it blew a lot of things up for a lot of people, and it's causing a lot of financial hurt for people out here.
And Mr. DeNoor, what steps does the state need to take to strengthen health care for all citizens?
Well, from my perspective, Hope, it's not what the state needs to do. It's what the federal government needs to do. And that's to get rid of Obamacare and substitute a single-payer health care system. If you did that, you wouldn't need Badger Care. You wouldn't need Medicare. Everybody would be covered. This is working in Canada. I don't see why. Well, I do know why we don't do it here, and that's because of the parasitic healthcare insurance companies. You know, if we had a single-payer system, we wouldn't need the parasitic insurance companies making health decisions. So it's not what the state should do. It's what the federal government should do.
The economy has been a major focus of both national and state races this year. Mr. Kopenke, what is the current status of the economy in your district, and what can we do to spark economic growth?
Well, we have, as I alluded to earlier, we have so many job openings now, it seems like. You can't hardly go to a business and not see a help wanted sign out there, which is a great thing. And what this has done is raise the wages, at least at the entry level. I've heard of businesses starting at $11, $14, $15 an hour. You wouldn't have heard of that 6, 7, 8 years ago when we had huge layoffs. Instead of now, we have a shortage in the workforce. So that's really, really a good thing. And again, we have the education system here, and that with the Western Tech and other technical colleges throughout the state that are putting students into the workforce in a very short, efficient manner. And that's very, very positive. And so I think we just need to keep on this path. We need to start marketing this great state of Wisconsin a little better than maybe we have, to show people what we have here as far as our environment, our educational system. We're relatively safe as far as crime is concerned. It's a great place to work and raise a family, and we need to market the state and have people look at Wisconsin first before they look at other states.
Mr. DeNoor, what's the current status of the economy in your district, and what can we do to spark economic growth?
Well, it appears that in La Crosse, it's the local economy is doing quite well. If you look at downtown La Crosse, it's thriving, and if you listen to the radio, you see help wanted ads being advertised. So as far as I can tell, the local economy is doing okay. The 32nd district economy is doing okay. The national economy is another story. You know, we're just losing all kinds of jobs to other countries. Again, that's one reason why I'm supporting Donald Trump for president. I don't have much more to say on that. I'm not all that knowledgeable on, you know, the exact health of the economy in the 32nd district. It's just that my perception is that it's good here, but not in the rest of the country.
And Senator Schilling, what's the current status of the economy in your district, and what can we do to spark economic growth?
Well, I think as we look at headlines from last year, we saw that Wisconsin surpassed the 10,000 number of layoffs in Wisconsin. As we look at the agency that is charged with economic development and job creation, the flawed Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation that have been the subject of numerous audits and looking for reforms that we have seen businesses who are using taxpayer dollars to outsource jobs out of the state and out of the country. And I think we need to stop that practice and make sure that companies that are awarded grants and taxpayer dollar, that they are in fact creating jobs. And we have seen that that simply has not been the fact, been the truth. Wisconsin was number 50th 2 years in a row for entrepreneurship. And so I think we need to do a better job of venture capital and helping with cluster development of entrepreneurs who have some good ideas that they are want to turn into you know, small businesses that become medium businesses that become large businesses. Also looking at green technology, and certainly here in Western Wisconsin, we have several co-ops that are looking at the use of solar, looking at wind power, and I think for rural communities, the Buy Local and Farm to School programs has helped local farmers connect with the marketplace and with businesses to help sell their produce to schools and institutions, and helping with new economic developments and those opportunities.
Mr. DeNoor, what condition do you think the state budget is currently in, and what are your top priorities for spending in the next state budget?
Well, of course, when you talk state budget, Hope, I keep thinking of the Department of Transportation budget and the fact that despite their huge budget deficit, they're still moving ahead with the North-South Corridor. You know, $140 million. You know, if you want to save the taxpayers of Wisconsin $140 million, you just take the North-South Corridor off the books. And a Department of Transportation official a couple of years ago said that is what they might do. But they haven't done it. And I wrote the head of the Department of Transportation and asked him to take the North-South Corridor off their books and save the taxpayers $140 million. About 3 weeks after I wrote that letter, I got a reply, and the head of the DOT just ignored everything that I said. So as far as the budget goes, we can save a lot of money by getting rid of the North-South Corridor. And if you legalize marijuana, you're going to take in a lot of revenue from the licensing, et cetera, of marijuana producers. And, you know, Colorado, in the article I read, had taken in $135 million. That money could be used to help repair our roads. So that's another aspect of the budget that I think we should consider, legalizing pot.
And Senator Schilling, what condition do you think the state budget is currently in, and what are your top priorities for spending in the next state budget?
Well, I don't think the current budget reflects really the priorities of Wisconsinites in this state. And as I talked to sort of the tax fairness issue that we, in this budget, we have a tax policy that has gone forward that 11 millionaires who make $35 million will capture a $21 million tax cut. And I'm all for targeted tax relief for middle-class families to help where really you get the biggest bang for your buck. But as we look at the next budget, and budgets under Governor Walker have been increasing, that I think we're upwards of a $70 billion budget. And it is because we are seeing more and more tax cuts go to the ultra-wealthy. We are seeing the expansion of the voucher school system at a time that we need to be investing in our public schools, our university systems. We need to be looking at transportation. We also have some real problems within corrections, and we have seen staff shortages both at Lincoln Hills but in other correctional facilities. We have seen within the Veterans Administration that the King Veterans Home has been understaffed, and there are some real infrastructure concerns there. So I think we need to really get back to basics in this state. It's about education, it's about infrastructure, and it's about taking care of our most vulnerable if it's our veterans, but it's also our juveniles that are in corrections.
Mr. Kopanky, what condition do you think the state budget is currently in, and what are your top priorities for spending in the next state budget?
Well, the key to any budget, whether it be a state budget or a personal budget, is not to spend money that we don't have. And under the previous administration, we had to take from the transportation fund, we had to take steel from the students' auxiliary fund, we had steel from the chemical cleanup fund. We had a $3.6 billion deficit we were looking at in 2011, starting 2011. We didn't pay our bill to Minnesota, tax reciprocity bills on time. So now, since that time, we are trying to stay within our budget. We have a projected surplus in the last fiscal year of over $300 million. We're paying our bills. We're not spending money that we don't have. And we need to continue on that course. And as far as priority spending, it's like I said earlier, it's always been education has always been up there. Number one, K-12. We need to look at again higher ed. Transportation has been mentioned, but healthcare is a huge issue as well. And so we need to. Those are some of the areas that we need to concentrate on.
Agriculture is important to many communities in your district, and Wisconsin farmers continue to suffer from low commodity prices. Senator Schilling, how do you hope to help producers in our state?
Well, I'm pleased I've earned the endorsement of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau in this election. And as we look at issues that are important to farmers, looking at, like I mentioned, the Farm to School program is one that many local producers are working with our school districts that they have found a market for locally grown produce or beef and dairy products. So helping support those traditional farmers. But also we have seen a huge growth in organic farming here in western Wisconsin, and Cashton and Lafarge are the home to Organic Valley. So looking at the opportunities that farmers have to go organic, but recognizing that we're going to always have the traditional farms, but also the important work that organics is bringing forward here in the state. But I will also say one thing as far as some of the infrastructure for agriculture, and that is it's broadband as well. And as I meet with farmers, they talk about the importance of broadband to them, and it's not only access, but it's speed for them. So I think, you know, one of the reasons I really like to talk about broadband expansion and infrastructure is because it is important in agriculture, health, education, small business, tourism, that is an issue that talking with farmers that they rely on the internet, and it's very valuable for them and for the products that they produce.
Mr. Kopanky, how do you hope to help producers in our state?
Well, we're fortunate in this part of the state that we're agriculturally we're quite diversified. We have commodities, we have the grain and corn farmers, we have dairy, we have organic, as Jen mentioned, and you know that allows for weathering storms that we're going through right now as far as commodity prices are concerned. A few years ago, commodity prices were relatively high, and farmers have been through this. I've dealt with farmers for 25 years in the seed business, and they go through this, and they understand that, and it doesn't make them happy about it, but they do weather it because they prepare for it. One of the major things that can happen as far as farmers in this part of the state and throughout the United States is concerned is having a better national policy. We have, I've talked to a organic farmer who is producing milk, and they have to, and cheese, and they have to have certain standards, but yet the federal government is allowing cheese to be imported from across the pond. That doesn't have to meet the standards that we have to meet locally, and I think that's grossly unfair, and so that should be corrected. But farmers are a very hardy bunch. We need to do what we can as far as rules and regulations are concerned, as far as infrastructure is concerned, but they'll work it out.
And Mr. Dunor, how do you hope to help farmers in our state?
Well, you know, the same way I would help people who live in the city and work in factories, and that's reduce their tax burden. You know, don't be spending $140 million on a highway project that's not wanted by most of the people in La Crosse. Don't be spending additional money on the UW system. If that system needs more money, get rid of the tuition freeze. You know, in looking at the ag situation, I think, you know, it's kind of a supply and demand. The weather has been so great lately in the Cooley region and probably in the Midwest overall, that these farmers are able to produce bountiful crops. And when you got so many crops, you know, then the price goes down. So it's kind of a tough thing. But I think also if some farmers were able to produce and marijuana, that would I think they'd find a market for it, and that would help out their financial situation.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're hosting a debate between the candidates for the 32nd Senate District. We're here with Integrity Party candidate Chip DeNoor, Republican Dan Kopanky, and Democratic incumbent Jennifer Schilling. And Mr. Kopanky, as has been mentioned, broadband continues to be limited in many rural areas. Does the state need to do more to support broadband expansion?
I think it's come to the forefront in recent years for sure. And again, when you travel the rural areas of the 32nd, you can see that there's been some improvements in this area. There's still some areas that need attention. But I recently visited with a young couple down in Gaze Mills, and they were actually working in a new office, working for the La Crosse area, actually, but for a company out of Minneapolis. And I thought that was pretty exciting that they could stay there in a small community in Crawford County and do their job there and work nationally, really, right out of Gaze Mills. And so it is important for communities and for rural areas to have broadband. It certainly is an economic driver, that's for sure.
Mr. DeNoor, does the state need to do more to support broadband expansion?
I think that's probably something Jennifer and Dan and I agree on. The governor has taken some steps, has given some tax dollars towards this. I think he should give a little more.
And Senator Schilling, does the state need to do more to support broadband expansion?
Yes, we do. And unfortunately, Governor Walker turned back upwards of $25 to $30 million in federal money several years ago to help us with broadband expansion. Minnesota, our neighbor, is running laps around Wisconsin where they were putting in, I think Governor Dayton wanted $100 million in broadband expansion. I think they settled on less than that. But Minnesota is really one of the four at the forefront of connectivity of their communities, urban and rural. And here in Wisconsin, I know the governor and I joined him at an event in Vernon County where he was really patting himself on the back for a $6 million investment in broadband, which I said it's a good start, but it's a drop in the bucket. And the $6 million really went to the Office of Broadband within Public Service Commission to help communities with the who, what, and where of grant application. It did nothing to actually lay the fiber in communities. And as some of the grants that are made available for small towns to access broadband development. Ferryville, as an example, received a grant. However, I met with three different businesses that live just up on the ridge above Ferryville, and they're what is considered the last mile and are unable to be connected. And one is a manufacturer, one is an ag with flower farm, and the other one is in small business insurance. So we certainly need to do better in broadband expansion because, again, that really is the great equalizer for economic development in all counties in Wisconsin.
We've now reached the end of our debate, and it's time for closing statements. You'll each have a minute to sum up why people should vote for you. And we'll start with Mr. Kopanky.
Well, again, I come to this race here, this campaign, from a different perspective. Having owned my own businesses, I come from that perspective. I understand job growth. I understand employment. I understand job training. I'm very, very passionate about this state of Wisconsin. I think we have so much going for us when you look at us compared to some of the surrounding states. And I'm bullish, and I'm passionate about the people that live here, and I'm passionate about serving them. So I would ask for your vote on November 8th.
And Mr. DeNoor, you'll now have a minute to sum up why people should vote for you.
Well, again, the basic foundation of my campaign is concern for the taxpayers. If elected to the state Senate, I would use my common sense, my integrity as a human being, and my deep regard for the truth to serve the people of the 32nd District.
And Senator Schilling, you'll have a minute for closing statements.
Well, I appreciate the voters' past support in serving in the state Senate. I am just finishing my first full term in the state Senate. And I believe Wisconsin does better when we all do better. And that means strong public schools. It means an infrastructure that works. It means jobs and wages for middle-class families and helping grow middle-class families and helping them with such things as child care costs or helping seniors who are on the eve of retirement to know that they have pension security. That there are many things that we can do different in this state, and over the last 5 years, we have seen wealthy tax breaks go to special interest groups. We have seen continued cuts to public education. And I think that as we look, we believe in that promise of a better tomorrow. And for far too many people in Wisconsin, they feel that promise has not been met or it's been broken. And so I will continue to stand up for Western Wisconsin and the families that live here. I've never been accused of being a rubber stamp for Governor Walker. And I think he really has had an agenda that has harmed many of the priorities here in the state.
We've been hearing for the candidates for Wisconsin's 32nd Senate District, Democratic incumbent Jennifer Schilling, Republican Dan Kopanky, and Integrity Party candidate Chip DeNoor. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers.